What was I just saying before I cut myself off?
You were telling me that I shouldn't cut my hair.
Oh, dude, no, don't do anything to it. My God, everybody, every listener of this show, get thee to the social media quickly and find the video that corresponds right now because, I mean, Nathan's wearing a gray hoodie. You can find it. He's got the beard. He's got the glasses. He's looking like a smart guy over there. And, dude, the hair, I was going to say this during the last episode that we recorded. It's perfect right now, dude. It's perfect. It's falling perfectly. It's the perfect length. You've got it swept to the side perfectly. It looks mature, however youthful. Maybe the glasses are sending some vibes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked to them about glasses, maybe?
Interestingly, yes. Okay. I have. Yeah. Not as a permanent thing.
Right.
Yeah, here's a little peek behind the curtain.
Okay.
And now we'll know either it happened because of an idea that I had, or if you never see him wearing glasses, it means that they hated the idea after the wardrobe fitting that I'm probably going to have in a couple
of
days.
Ooh, tell us. I'm excited. Oh, wait, so, let me make sure I'm recording. Yep, I'm recording. Go.
Okay. So, you know, the fun thing about like doing a revival is you get to start talking to the creatives about like how your character has changed and how they've developed. And, you know, we're looking at this 10 years later.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, what are some real life things that have happened to me in that time, and how could some of those parlay into things that happened to Freddie? And one of the things fairly recently is that I got tired of squinting and having headaches from reading or watching TV. And I decided to finally get my eyes looked at and realized that I needed it's not crazy, but like a slight prescription for some like astigmatism and just general farsightedness. And so I was like, you know what? That's an interesting thing. As you get older and your eyes get worse, that's just one of those things that 10 years later might have happened to Freddie, especially since he's a techie guy. He's on screens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just a reality of his job. And, my brother who works for a tech company, he doesn't even wear glasses, except that he wears like those blue light glasses that filter out to reduce eye strain because he's on a screen all day.
Oh, that sounds
nice.
That's
his job.
I'm
so
on a screen all day. I gotta do this.
It's pretty, I mean,
yeah,
as long as you got the blue light glasses, you're golden.
Oh yeah,
you can just do it for all of eternity.
No, that just sounds good. I'm taking notes over here.
Yeah, you should just like get a job at a tech company. Is like the whole jam.
No, I am on a screen all day, dude. We're doing 5 podcasts over here. I'm serious. Like, it's
that's true.
Ruined my eyes in the last few years, I'm telling you.
Then get some blue light glasses.
I don't know if I'd wear those frames as smartly as you're wearing them, dude. The frame choice is nice, dude.
Thank you. This took a little while to get sorted out, but I like the kind of 1960s dad vibe.
Yeah, that's nice, yeah.
You know?
Hey, like, speaking of that.
What?
All right, come on, try to do it.
We're talking no malarkey. Time a quarter, doing great. Eat your veggies.
It was close. It was very close. I'll give you a 4 out of 10.
That's not close at all. That's less than half close.
I'm not a math major. I'm an actor, dude. I told you.
Yeah, you didn't have grades in school. We discussed this last week.
I know how to subtract 10%. That's it. That's all I know how to do. Which actually isn't even 10%. It's more like 25.
Yeah, it's 25, and then the government gets their half.
Ugh, you guys. Oh, my gosh. Like, it's so funny like how the perception of things, you know? Like, growing up, I was like, oh, man, get on a TV show and never have to work again. Like, not when you're giving 75% away. That's not how to you know, become rich and famous. Or I guess, well, you'd already be famous, but you know what I mean. The other part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't think I remember one time when I was younger and, you know, like working on the show consistently, my dad was like, yeah, you know, just so you know, I know you think that you know what an actor makes, but like, you'll probably get about 40 to 50%
right
of what you think you're making.
Well, that's why they got to make $10 million a movie, you know, the right. big shots. You know, they got to inflate the salary so high because they're giving away such a big percentage.
Right.
Yeah. That's why those numbers really got out of control. Everybody has to wet their beak, you know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and to be fair, a lot of the time it's because your representatives are like working for you for free.
Yeah.
Until you do something. So it's like, yeah, it's a weird, it's
or
a weird
sitting
like
around
business
waiting for you to finally get something so they can get lucky.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I keep sending them out there. It's like fishing, you know. They just keep throwing you the lure out there and they're like, one of these days someone will bite on this thing and then I'll make 10% of that fish.
Yep.
So gently rocking back and forth in their rowboat that's called CAA.
While simultaneously throwing out 15 other people that look just like you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, you got to, the more lines you got in the water, right?
They'll get 10% of some fish somewhere.
No, Brett, I swear, man, I'm rooting for you. Zach is just also my client who looks like you, who went to the same audition. But I promise, bro, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I used to work for my manager in New York. I know how this goes. Okay.
Right.
I've been in the offices. I've answered the phones. I get it. Yeah. Have I ever told you the story of how I got my first anything in this business, Nathan?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Told you the catch me if you can story that is my life?
Not this portion of it.
Well, I'll tell you right after the break. He's becoming a pro, everybody. There it is. There's the music.
We'll see if you can get the intro when we come back. That's when it'll be locked in.
Oh, man. I watched this BMX mountain biking downhill extreme crazy documentary on Netflix called, Accomplice.
Mm.
Amazing.
Really?
Yeah, this song is in it. I Shazammed it.
Nice. People still do that?
Dude, this thing, it's an hour long, this video, this movie, whatever you want to call it, documentary. It might be the best thing on Netflix.
Wow.
I'm telling you. It's inspiring. It's incredible to watch. The photography is beautiful. The message is uplifting and fulfilling and substantial.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool.
I'll get out of the way of the song. We'll be right back to tell you about how I lied my way to the top right after this. But if it's the drugs, the women, the white, the weed, the love, then soon everything I owe, just take it all, and tell the ones you love them, teach only what you know and love, you better know it when.
Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio.
Darn it. Sometimes the other song starts before that song ends. Guys,
I knew
what do
it.
You do? I'm trying. Look, the average mistake now, though, is down to, you got to say like one an episode, okay? Which is down from what it was in the beginning.
Which
at this rate, we'll be to no mistakes in at least 5 to 7 years.
Which is pretty good, I guess, for us.
Right. I mean, we'll cross over the three quarters of a mistake per episode. Then we'll get to about half a mistake per episode. We just keep whittling it down at this rate.
Yeah.
If I go next episode with no mistakes.
Right. Yeah. Practice is just going to make perfect. Maybe like on a weekend, you can just just do a little soundboard practice.
Maybe.
You know.
I mean, just to be fair, you're not pushing any buttons.
That's true. I do like pushing your buttons, though.
Radioactive
and you do
Dads.
Love pushing my buttons.
I do. Radioactive Dads, Adobe Radio. I'm Brett. He's Nathan. Thanks for listening on Adobe every single Wednesday live. And then you get the music breaks, too. You can hear the tunes that we play. Or if you're listening on the podcast app, well, we appreciate that, too. Subscribe, hit review, let us know what's up. Nathan, what is up? What's going on, man?
Well, I just wanted to say, on that music break, I watched the trailer for that movie,
Accomplice.
And
yeah.
Holy moly, that does look intense and also highly uplifting and very cool.
It's really cool, and, man.
You know what's so funny? All of the footage, if people go look on YouTube for this trailer, all that footage of like the kids rolling around and doing stuff in the driveway and in the backyard, that was exactly the footage that I was talking about on a couple episodes ago about the boy in the driveway, like getting footage of him, like going on his first jump. Yeah. And like, that was the exact documentary that I'm talking about.
Dude, totally.
So funny that you found it right after that.
Totally. Update on that though. We had a pretty bad crash.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-oh. He's okay. Everything's fine. Just some skinned up hands and knees. No, you know, nothing major. But well, there's like it would take forever to kind of explain, but there's like a hill and it's a hill situation. Got going a little bit too fast. And you know, this is the lessons we learn, you know. You go a little bit too fast and you get a little bit too close to one of those parking triangles and something's got to give. And the ground is, you know, the ground. And so there you go.
Right.
But we're okay. But confidence shaken a little bit. So we're working on restoring the confidence, which is to pretty much just say, hey, get back up there and let's keep riding, which we did even that day. But then it was like over the course of the next few days is when the confidence started to waver. It wasn't right away. You know, it was like all of a sudden, like, let's not go back to that area again. And it was like, hey, come on. You can do it. The thing is, you just got a little too close to those things. And if you stay away from those, then that won't happen again. So, you know, teachable moment.
Yeah, that's good. Has that changed at all your thinking on like protective gear? Because like obviously you've got them wearing a helmet, but like they got like the gloves that have like the kind of heel of the palm protection, you know, knee pads.
A
like there's
bit.
So many things you could have them wear.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing that, or is it kind of just like the helmet and then whatever happens, happens?
A little bit. I mean, if anything, it has made me think of the full face helmet. That's kind of like the dirt bike looking helmet, you know?
Oh yeah.
Especially because as a family, I think we're going to start doing a little more mountain biking and stuff. Sort of inspired by that documentary.
Yeah.
So I've thought about that because that's the first thing that's going to smack the ground is the chin, you know, if you're especially if you're going head first.
That's
so
true.
The arms, knees, elbows and stuff. I mean, this was a pretty bad crash and it didn't really end up that bad as far as those extremities are concerned. So I was like, oh, actually, I don't think that stuff's super necessary. But as far as the head and helmet, I mean, come on, that's where all the super important stuff is.
Yeah. And like you can afford a scar on your elbow. You know, or on your knee or something, but like a big fat scar on your chin is a lot harder to get over. And, you know, like that's just going to be annoying because you can't cover that up. It's always going to be there, you know? So, I think doing, the full helmet thing definitely does make sense. But I just wonder if, like, for his confidence, in kind of getting him back on there, just saying, like, well, hey, let's cover up the more sensitive parts. And like you can do elbow pads, knee pads, even like hand guards, or just like bike gloves, something like kind of a moleskin.
Oh, some
sort of
rad
effect.
Gloves. That's a great idea.
Because that could be like an accessory thing of like, dude, I got you, like, you know, I bought some bike gloves because I was a douche and bought them to match the interior of the Mustang that we bought.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I'm going to drive that car, I want to have like driving gloves.
That's the dorkiest thing I've ever heard.
Uh-huh. But it's like bright, like fire engine red, like perforated leather, like bare knuckle gloves. And I don't use them. I used them like twice and then went, I don't think I'm going to use these anymore.
Yeah, no, this isn't for me.
No,
this is
but
too
I bought
dorky
them.
Even for me.
So I gave up pretty quickly after that. But all that to say, like whatever color his bike is, if you shopped around and found like bike gloves that like matched his bike,
totally,
you know,
like
that could like do knuckles and palms and at least protect that. And then like even just like a long sleeve shirt or something,
dude,
and pants.
If I had a nickel for how many times I caught my own dorkiness, I would be a wealthy, wealthy man, dude. It happens to me all the time where I do something, I buy something. Like you just said, you get this vision like, oh, this is going to be cool. And Amazon is such a dangerous place for this, by the way.
Yep.
And then, you know, six months later, I'm like, you know, walking through the house and I'll see that thing laying there and I'm like, come on, I'm not a leather bound journal guy. What was I thinking? You know, like, that kind of thing. Like, it hasn't even been written in yet or touched. And I'm just like, what was I thinking? That was a silly $13.99, you know.
Ugh, that's so true though. But those things look so good.
Yeah.
It's in those little sidebar ads on the internet.
Right. Hey, so I was going to let you in on a little story.
Oh, okay.
Of a young Brett Davern, right? That's what we were talking about before the
break. Yes, yeah. I want to know how you worked your way to the top.
I hustled my way to the top. Well, look, you know, starting acting is hard. And I got out of high school, went to New York. I went to a conservatory out there and all this stuff. And I look a lot younger than I am. And so it was easier, though, to get meetings with agents in, like, the younger talent department, you know?
Right.
And I look young. So I figured, hey, if you got it, you might as well use it. So it was easier to get meetings there. But as soon as I told them my actual age, well, the meeting was over. So, you know, I just started going in saying, what are you talking about? I'm 19.
Right.
When I wasn't. And whatever. And if they made me fill out a card with my birthday on it, I did the math. What are you going to do? But that got me agents. This is all true.
I feel like this is like the bizarre actor version of like faking your age to join the military to go fight the Nazis.
It is.
But no, it was faking your age for an agency so that you could fool them into thinking that you could play a kid part.
That's dude, so I want that demo voiceover commercial for Strident, okay? Trident, whatever it's called. Leave me alone. Trident, right? I messed it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a true story. I started, basically, I had a meeting with someone in the kids department at Abrams Artists in New York. And it was, you know, set up on the books, hey, be there at 10 a.m., whatever it was. And I set up the meeting myself because I was working in my manager's office answering the phones and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I had gotten myself the meeting.
Nice.
And by sending in my own headshot and then talking up myself on the phone. And then I was showing up to my own meeting that I had set up. Of course, they don't really know who set it up. Right. And by the way, you set it up with the person's assistant anyway. So it's not like it's this big deception. They wouldn't have known anyway. But in setting up the meeting, I was nice enough to also set up some meetings with the same person for a few friends of mine that were actors as well. Because, hey, I'm working for the manager. These are clients of his also, and they're buddies of mine. So why not?
Right.
So on the way into the building, one of my buddies who had the meeting before me was on his way out of the building. Right. And so I said, hey, how'd it go? You know, how was this person? What was she like? You know, whatever, how'd it go? And he's like, yeah, it was pretty good. But as soon as she heard that I'm, you know, 24 or however old we were at the time, wink, wink, he goes, you know, the meeting was pretty much over. Kind of her mood changed. And she just kind of said, we don't really represent people that are actually that old. And if I wanted to try with the adult department, I could, but you know, whatever. And so he was kind of bummed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, you know, yeah. And so I go get in the elevator and of course I'm like, well, that's going to be my fate here.
Yeah.
We're the same age, you know? And so I was like dead man walking at that point. And in the elevator, I just thought, no, not this time. You know, I've been on 20, general agent meetings at this point. It's, you know, none of them are any good. This is a bigger agency. This is a real chance here. Not this time, you know, not today. And so, you know, the first thing they have you do is fill out that card that's got the birthday on there. And I hovered over that line for a long time. And I was like, I mean, I've been doing this for years. It's hard out there. Who's going to know anyway? And you know how I justified it? I thought, look, if I book the next big thing, they're not going to care at that point, are they? Right. Like, the agent would probably give me a high five and go, well, whatever. Now you're making us money and you're making yourself money and you've got a career now and who cares? Big deal. Like, whatever. And we'll all have a big laugh over it. So I filled it out and I went in the room and she's like, well, how old are you? And I was like, 19. I booked my last three jobs. You want to work together? And she was like, sure. Or I booked my last three auditions or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, she doesn't know that those last three auditions are for educational films.
Right.
That are shot non-union, upstate, for $150 a day and cold pizza. You know. But when you say, I booked my last three auditions, feels like you got some juice, you know?
Yeah.
And so the rest is history. I got the auditions with them and started booking things and on down the line, moved out to L.A. and... bada bing, bada boom.
Wow. I mean, look, I think that is pretty brilliant because I feel like age is the one real thing that is like pretty arbitrary in the industry. You know, if you look 19, what does it matter if you're not 19.
Exactly. You know, this whole business is about what shows up on film, isn't it?
Right.
Really?
So, yeah. So it would have been a problem if they're like, no, you're not, you know, but obviously you look 19.
Right.
So what does it matter? You're going to go out for 19-year-old parts.
I also thought, too, I was justifying it by with myself in that moment, thinking, well, if they ever get pissed off about it, I'll just look at them and say, well, I'm clearly a good actor. You fell for it the whole time, so.
Yeah, put it on them. It's their fault.
Like, and but also, like, I'm clearly skilled at this.
Mm-hmm.
You believed it, right?
Right.
Isn't that the whole job anyway?
Their job is to look at actors and know if they're any good or not, so.
My first paying gig ever that was like unionized that I had to sign a waiver or whatever to work non-union or you know what I mean? Like when your first SAG job, they don't make you actually join, that kind of thing, was a promo for MTV for the show My Super Sweet 16.
Mm.
And it was like a scripted promo and I played a kid in high school, you know?
Yeah.
And I was pretty far out of high school at that point.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, this is working. This is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, then, considering your big job was you being in high school.
Yeah. 6 years after that, by the way.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, you know, it wasn't the wrong choice, I don't think. I mean, obviously, it would have been better if you didn't have to do that. But
right.
at the same time, you would never have gotten that audition.
Well, and look,
for awkward.
I mean, in some places you're not allowed to ask people how old they are, right?
Right.
And like even in right now in our business, you're in an audition room, you're really not supposed to ask, or I don't really think you're allowed to ask people how old they are. You
can
only really say,
only,
are you over 18, right?
Right. That's what you you would just say like, hi, I'm so and so, I'm over 18.
Yeah.
Then at that point it doesn't matter. Cause that would just tarnish.
Right.
Even if it's a great performance, if they say, oh, well, they're too old.
I think I also at that time had a friend who worked on the casting side who had maybe mentioned offhand that they're not allowed to ask or that they never do ask or that they ask in this vague way, like, are you over 18? And so maybe that was also rattling around in my head to your point, which is like, no one's going to ask anyway.
Right.
Who cares? You just got to get the audition and then go in there and nail it and try to get the job.
Right.
So, you know, they'll find out when you sign your first legal contract because obviously I'm not going to lie there. You know,
right.
But this little note card, that's the other thing. I was sitting there going, this is just this little note card. Like, this isn't like legally binding or anything, is
right.
it? I mean, I don't know.
You're not signing on with them. You're not, you're not, that's not an agreement.
Right.
You haven't added your social security number.
And as long as I come clean someday, how would this fraud ever hurt the agency?
Exactly.
Speaking
of which, did the fraud ever come clean? Or do they still not know to this day how old you were?
I mean, unless they're listening to this episode, I guess, you know? No? I was pretty much only, what's the word for it? Like, I wasn't really under contract with them. I was just, they were just sort of throwing me auditions every once in a while. Kind of freelancing, I guess, with them, sort of. Like, they didn't want to make a full commitment, you know? They were fine to date, but they didn't want to get married. I don't know.
Didn't want to put a ring on it.
So once I booked like my kind of first bigger job, which by the way, I got myself that audition as well from the management office. That audition didn't come through the agency. I got myself that audition. So then when the producer of that film asked me who my agents were, just to test the waters, I said, well, I don't really have one. And then he got me really, really, really good ones who wanted to get married. And so the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
man.
Now you have little movie babies together.
Yeah.
Tale as old as time.
Here I am, still hustling.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Still hustling all these years later. I'll always be hustling.
Yeah. ABH. That works, right?
Sure.
Sure.
I'll go with it. Yeah, man. What do you want to talk about after the break? Should we decide? Should we decide during the break?
Yeah, I think I'm going to just like have a completely unrelated tangent to talk about, like as per usual.
All right. That sounds good. We'll be right back. This band is called Rainbow Kitten Surprise. They're my new favorite thing on earth.
That's so great.
Turn it up. We'll be right back.
My gal is a good one, tells me she's mine. Wish I'd better looking, baby, don't mind. My gal is a good one, tells me she's mine.
listening to Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio.
Hey, what's up, Radioactive Dads? I'm Brett. He's Nathan. And when I start segments like that, it's because I forgot what I was going to talk about. And this is me stalling. I just talk and talk and talk. But the whole time, I'm actually thinking, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. What was I going to talk about? Including even still right now. I still can't figure it out. And all I'm doing is still talking. It's called vamping. We call this vamping in the biz. You know, I'm vamping, vamping, vamping away. Oh, I remember what I was going to do.
Yeah, he got it. Wow. Good for you. That was some good vamping.
That was a journey, man.
I was getting a little concerned there.
It was a good vamp, but a bad segue.
Yeah.
Didn't stick the landing.
But I mean, when you got a vamp, you got a vamp. Like, there's no way, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that one.
Yeah, don't vamp too much. You'll go blind. Nathan, I want to guess some iCarly reboot spoilers, okay? And you can just react. I know you're not going to spoil anything. I know you're not going to give anything away, but that's not going to stop me from guessing. And by the way, if listeners have guesses out there, hit us up, social media, Radioactive Dads. I'll ask him. You think I won't? You can ask me serious ones. You know, I'm going to ask him what, like, ridiculous ones. If you guys got real ones about, like, real juicy stuff on the show, you can send them in. I'll ask him. He won't tell us, but I'll still ask. I'll ask for you. I will stand in proxy. In what do you call it? Proxy? I'll stand as your proxy. Yeah, let me do it. I will stand as tribute. Anyway, Nathan, here's a spoiler guess from me. Okay.
Uh huh.
Aliens.
Yes.
Try to tell me it's not going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Oh, well, you're supposed to say no. I didn't think you were supposed to be. Wow. Okay, write it down, everybody.
Yep.
Nathan's spoiling the iCarly reboot. Reimagine.
100% be aliens on the iCarly reboot on Paramount Plus.
Wow. He's really not afraid of being sued. Wow.
So who's going to sue me? The aliens?
Hey, do we have a title of this yet? I mean, if you're not allowed to say that, whatever. But I'm honestly curious.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I've seen some things thrown around and I like some things.
It'll be fun to go over those once they've picked one, because I want to hear all the silly ones they didn't go with. Someday.
Okay.
Not right now. Yeah. Someday. You want to hear some of the titles that Awkward was going to be called?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give them up right now. That show's over. And probably never coming back. Even though, man, we all wish it would, including the cast. But I just don't think they're going to call. Who knows? Maybe some producers listening.
Yeah. I think you got fired too many times.
Hey, they might be listening. That wasn't my fault, okay? They had to pick somebody, and for some reason, it was me both times.
Both.
It's ridiculous.
What are the odds?
I wasn't even asking for anything. I wasn't even the troublemaker. I'm just the loudest. See, that's the thing, everybody, by the way. Now you're sidetracking me. Just because I'm loudest doesn't mean I'm, you know, Cersei is pretty quiet. You know what I'm saying?
Who's Cersei? Oh, is that Game of Thrones?
Yeah, Game of Thrones, bro.
Oh, I don't have HBO. I don't pay for the add-ons.
By the way, that has nothing to do with gender, or I'm not saying anything about our show or anything like that. I'm just saying that a lot of times in life, whether it's from Viacom or someone else, I get blamed for shit. And usually it's just because I'm the loudest one there.
That's 100% why. You don't shut up ever.
I'm sorry. All right.
No,
fine.
It's okay.
I gotta go.
It works for a podcast.
Okay. Awkward was going to be called at the very beginning when I auditioned for it and went all the way through the auditions. It was called That Girl the entire time.
Mm.
And you can see it in the writing of the show, because if you watch the pilot especially, there's these little cutaways that they cut away to random students at the high school, not the main characters, and they're gossiping about Ashley's character. And they start each sentence with, I heard that girl, blah, 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 blah. I heard that girl, blah, 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 blah. And every time it cuts, the new person says, I heard that girl. So yeah, the title was going to be called That Girl.
Gotcha.
But then Marlo Thomas, who had a show in the 70s called That Girl, didn't like that so much.
Ah.
So she got involved and then I guess wanted money for the title. I don't know how it works, whatever. But in any case, they decided, let's not call it that. So, also, if you watch the show, here's another Easter egg. The character of Jenna writes a blog the whole time, and her blog is called That Girl Daily, I think, or something like that.
Ah.
That's why it's called that. And then there was an open competition where they just asked the cast, like, what would you guys call it? And there was a really funny email chain for a long time with people putting in sincere ones that were silly and people putting in silly ones that were definitely silly. And I submitted, I wanted the show to be called, or no, Bo and I both thought it would be cool if the show was called Virgin Cool. I don't know why. Sounds like a bad band name.
It really does.
Yeah, we were like, no, it's cool because, like, you don't really know what it means, you know? And, like, in the pilot, she, like, loses her virginity, so, like, there's something there, and then she becomes cool, and so maybe, I don't know. And they were like, no, get out of here. That's dumb. at one point, it was going to be called DOA, Dead on Arrival. That didn't work.
That sounds like a album.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the working titles was Kill Me Now, which I said, you guys got to watch out with that one, because if the reviews aren't good, that's all they'll say is, well, kill me now, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's critic fodder for sure.
Yeah, and then I think they kind of settled. It was longer than just awkward. It was, you know, maybe it was like that awkward moment or something like that. And then
that's
some,
awkward.
Who knows who was in the room? Probably the creator, obviously, maybe, hopefully, who was like, nah, let's just do awkward. And it stuck. And there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But it tells you what you need to know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And it's that awkward time of your life. The show is about awkward situations, so there you go. My character was also called Jackson the whole time I was auditioning.
Oh.
And then he got changed to Jake because on Teen Wolf, there was some dude named Jackson, and that show had already come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, you can't have too many Jacksons.
Yeah, no. And plus, everybody's name was Jackson then. Huh?
Yeah. You would make a good Jackson. I feel like I get more Jackson vibes from you than Jake vibes. Maybe it's your plaid flannel.
Yeah,
you
maybe.
Got going on right now.
I look like a Jackson right now.
Yeah, you look like a Jackson.
This is such
maybe
a
it's because it's like
movie.
Lumberjack.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then I go Jackson from Lumberjack.
Sure. You want to hear the Exterminator story real quick?
Oh, yeah. I want the Exterminator story.
I said I'd tell it, I think, on the last episode, but we never got to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been curious this whole time.
Well,
because I want to hear about you getting like infested with something horrible.
Oh, dude. No, that was back in college.
Oh, uh-oh.
We had a, well, we definitely have a rat or had a rat or maybe still do. I don't know. But we lived in the house for like 7 years. And for all 7 years we've lived in the house, around this time of the year, this is what you start to hear. In one of the bedrooms of the house. You start to hear this over your head.
Ugh.
And so it's like, oh boy, here they are again. And we call out an exterminator every time. And they come and they put traps in the attic and stuff. And they'll catch stuff, you know, and then they get rid of it. And they try to seal up the hole where they think it's coming in. But, you know, the house was built in 1954 and it's been added on to a million times. And it's just one of these things, you know. And as long as you take care of it, it's not really that big a deal. But I'm getting sick of it, you know? And so I was like, I want to once and for all figure out how they're getting in. And the thing is the room you hear them in, you hear them on the ceiling of that room, which has an upper floor above it. So they're in between the ceiling and the floor.
Right.
So they're not just in the big attic space where there's a bunch of room. They're in this spot that you can't get to. So my point was, I want to just find out how they're getting into that spot. So we called the exterminator, had that in mind. Dude comes out. He's like, I don't see any holes as to how they could get into that spot. It must be the plumbing. Maybe you're hearing the water in the plumbing. And I said, get out. Get out of the house. Stop. Nope. Bye. Next. So then we... People know I'm kidding. Anyway, then I called another exterminator. He comes out and... He pokes around and everything. He showed up in a tricked out Audi. And I quickly found out how he got that really nice Audi because he told me it would be $5,000 to find out where this culprit is coming from, find them and remove
them. Was he ripping out drywall or something?
Oh, dude. He goes, we're also a construction company. So what we're going to do is we're going to rip down the ceiling. We're going to clean everything. We're going to seal everything up. We're going to seal from the inside. We're going to seal from the outside. We're going to go in the attic, out of the attic, under the attic, on top of the attic. Baby, we got you covered. And I was like, great. How much? He goes, $5,000. I go, get out.
Get out.
You too. Get out. Right?
Even more so than the first one. Yeah. Get out.
Get out, dude. Are you kidding me? Like, maybe during season two, pal, but it's been a while. So get out. Mm-hmm. So I went in the attic, or no, sorry, I went in the garage, and I grabbed my hiking and camping headlamp and my all the yeah. lanterns and some flashlights, and I was like, hell with it. I'm rolling my sleeves up. I'm going to figure this out. I was up there less than 30 seconds, found the hole, figured out exactly where they're coming from, recreated the sound in that room on my own while sitting in the attic and yelling down to Mrs. Davern, is that what it sounds like? She's like, that's exactly what it sounds like. I was like, boom. Got you, bastards. Then there's a bunch of poop over there, too. So I was like, I got it for sure, right?
Yeah.
Put some traps out, waited a few days, caught them coming back out of the hole, sealed up the hole, bada bing, bada boom, cost me nothing. However, I should start a company because maybe I could have a cool Audi.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you combine exterminator services with construction services and you just tear people's houses down.
What a racket, right?
And it technically fixes the pest problem.
Yeah. It's just
so that's a good way of doing it.
Completely bloated and out of control. And also the thing is the part of town I live in, you know, we live across the freeway from some of the most expensive real estate on earth. Like the Kardashians are over there. Okay.
Right.
So yeah. I guarantee there's so many people who just call this guy and they're just like, yeah, sure. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how you get the Audi. And I'm not hating. You got to run a business. That's fine. But right. I'm just saying, geez. Right?
Yeah.
Also, and I noticed this going on a lot now, especially where we live. The company was called like, I don't know, I won't give the exact name, but it was like something hippy dippy clean energy kind of like green solutions or something like that, you know? And yeah. I was like, oh, come on. Like that, all that means is you can charge an extra $1,000.
Right.
You know, because you're quote unquote organic. Bro, you're still killing rats. Come on.
Right, exactly. Like, if they're going to die, I'd rather it just be the quickest way for them.
Yeah.
Which is going to just be a wire trap.
Yeah, which is what everyone's going to do, by the way.
Right,
so
exactly.
Who are you fooling with the we're eco-friendly, blah, 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 blah? Oh, come on. You know? Anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes if that's more for, like, the bug thing because you don't want to spray pesticides everywhere.
That part of it makes sense.
So maybe that's why.
That part of it makes sense.
But yeah, I hope so. Did you, so you set out traps. Did you do like just the good old fashioned like peanut butter and cheese on a wire trap thing?
Oh, or? Yeah. Yeah. I had some wire traps anyway because we've had some in the garage over the, you know, from years or whatever. So yeah, just baited them up, put them right outside where I knew they're coming out of. They're going to funnel out of there. You know, sorry, night, night. I'm not going to relocate rats. Don't come after me. Don't email me. This is how it goes.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. I love animals just as much as everybody else, but these aren't animals, they're rats. Which I realize can be offensive if you like rats. Leave me alone. We're out of here. We're out of time. Bye, everybody. Email us if you want. RadioactiveDads@gmail.com. Social media, Radioactive Dads. Right, Nathan?
Right. That's exactly right. Well, hey, for what it's worth, I'm proud of you.
Okay.
Good for you for saving everything, and I hate rats too. So.
Send me your spoiler thoughts for iCarly. I'll pin him to the wall and ask him. It'll be fun.
Bye, There's everybody. Definitely going to be aliens, though, for real.
Bye, everybody.
One of them was slime.
Oh no, wrong button.
Oh, Brett!
Welp, that covers it for this week.
There
on
it is.
Radioactive Dads.
Good
Nathan
one.
And Brett will be back next week with a brand new episode. Streaming on Adobe.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.